A couple of weeks ago, we had Bret Easton Ellis on the show to talk about his controversial new novel, American Psycho. Then we called Tammy Bruce from the L.A. chapter of Now, who organized a boycott against the book's publisher. We've been curious to hear what our book critic, John Leonard, thinks of the novel.
I've read it, and you don't have to. Everybody associated with the hoopla ought to be ashamed. The same giant corporation that distributes Friday the 13th slasher movies decided that American Psycho was beyond the pale. Another giant corporation was obscenely quick to cash in on the publicity. The National Organization of Women called for a boycott of the offending publisher, as if to boycott our own minds, a kind of self-blinding. And what did anybody expect from Ellis anyway? In his first novel, the overpraised Less Than Zero, L.A. zombies cut off a young girl's breasts and stuck candles in her. Since his second novel, The Rules of Attraction, wasn't violent enough to sell many copies, he had to up the ante in his third. Meet Patrick Bateman, a 27-year-old Harvard-educated Wall Street broker. When Patrick, in his Ralph Lauren silk pajamas, isn't listening to Whitney Houston on his Sansui stereo system with the 6-foot Duntech Sovereign speakers, when he isn't eating quail sashimi and chocolate chip sorbet in the latest overpriced bistro, when he isn't snorting coke at the latest downtown armpit, or forgetting to return his videos, or on his way to a masseuse or a tanning salon, or buying magazines like Esquire and Lesbian Vibrator Bitches, what this Patrick does is torture dogs, pop the eyes out of homeless beggars, dismember yuppies, and get away with it. In spite of the inside references to Brat Pack buddies Jay McInerney and Tama Janowitz, not to mention Tom Wolfe, this might have been funny, a sort of Bonfire of the Vanities meets the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And for 200 pages, some of it actually is. Ellis has an ear for the homophobic and misogynistic fatuities of his social set, and an eye for their A. Testoni loafers and Oliver Peoples non-prescription glasses. Since everybody looks alike, they are always mistaking each other for somebody else. They are their accessories. And the television talk show Patrick watches each morning could also have been amusing, had Ellis developed such topics as deformed people, dwarf tossing, teenage girls who trade sex for crack, and has Patrick Swayze become cynical or not. But Ellis wants to be profound. Not by accident, when Patrick tells people that he's, quote, into murders and executions, what they hear him say is mergers and acquisitions. When he makes obscene telephone calls to Dalton schoolgirls, what he whispers to them is, I'm a corporate raider. I orchestrate hostile takeovers. What do you think of that? In other words, when Psycho goes on in disgusting detail about the rape of an Aspen waitress with a can of hairspray, and the nailing of Bethany's fingers to a hardwood floor, and the sodomizing of a severed head, it's really a critique of late capitalism and the fetishism of commodities. Sure, and I'm the king of Bavaria. We can't tell a novelist what to write, but we can hold him accountable for his choices. If Ellis feels so bad about late capitalism, why not imagine a Patrick who, instead of killing folks, joins the Peace Corps or the Red Cross, goes to therapy or Tibet, maybe even becomes a nun? I'll tell you why not. Because not a single character in any Ellis novel has ever been capable of introspection, much less love, art, heroism, or politics. They're all zombies. American Psycho is no surprise. The mystery is why, among so many offensive books, we all chose to flog this one into bestsellerdom.
John Leonard is media critic for CBS Sunday Morning.